Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have Wendy Koch. She is the host of A Juicy Pear podcast, and she also has a brand spanking new book out, An Awakening. It's a paranormal thriller. It's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I will have the link to that book at the bottom of this podcast. I'll be right back with my conversation with Wendy Koch right after these brief messages.
Are you looking for a new book to read? Check out my newest book, An Awakening, by Wendy M. Koch, last name spelled K-O-K. Basically, it's a story of good versus evil, and these things slowly start taking over the residents of this small northern town in Nielsville, Wisconsin, and I would love it if you would read it. My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Book Baby Bookshop, everywhere really, and you can find me at WendyMKochAuthor.com.
Today I have Wendy Koch back on the show. Welcome, Wendy. It's been a minute.
I know. Hey, Al, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me on again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And before we get into your new book, it just came out, An Awakening, and I can't wait to get it. It is on order. I haven't read it yet. If it's anything like the first book, you know, I can't wait because I thought the first one was awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's fantastic that you ordered it. I'm so excited to get it out there. You know, right now I'm at a point where it's an exciting time for me. It's nerve-wracking too because, you know, it's on pre-order and people really haven't read it yet. You know, it's kind of, I'm in the marketing phase right now, which is not my favorite phase. I mean, I worked several hours yesterday just on graphic design stuff, which is fine, but it's like, I like to write. I'm working on my third one and, you know, I got to learn how to balance.
Yeah. Well, as soon as that third one comes out, we'll have you back on talking about that one. Who's going to be like a trilogy?
Yes. You know, it's kind of interesting because when I wrote the first book, A Gray Resort, I wrote it with no intentions of making a second or a third even. I just wanted to write it because I just felt very strongly that I had to write that book. And I had no intention of making it into a series until my fellow author friend, Laura Eckert. And she had told me, she says, this needs to be a series. You know, you can't just stop with one, right? You know this. I'm like, oh, but that's so difficult. She goes, no, it's not. Just go ahead and do it. And I really took that advice to heart. And because of that, yeah, I wrote book two, An Awakening, which was really sort of easy for me to write. It was a lot easier than I thought it would be, but it was very difficult putting everything together. That was the hard part, organizing it. You know, when your book comes out, I'm definitely going to order it. I'm excited to read it too, because it's about growing up with the ghosts and all the...
Well, it only took me 55 years to write it, so...
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you got to get that paper.
But before we get into the new book, let's talk a little bit about the first book, I mean, The Gray Resort, because I don't know, there's going to be a few of my listeners that haven't read that one, and they have to get that one. It's available on Amazon.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can get books, Book Baby, Bookshop, everywhere, really. A Gray Resort was based really on my, I grew up on a summer resort in northern Wisconsin. It's about 4 hours north of Milwaukee in a little town called Tomahawk. Now, I called it the town of Nielsville. The book is fiction, but it was just sort of a very interesting time to grow up. It was during the 70s and 80s, and, you know, things were completely so different from the way things are now. And, I wrote that book a few years ago. It took a good amount of time to write. It took about 8 years to write, but that was because, you know, I have two sets of twins, and it was just, I was in the throes of child rearing, and, you know, it just took a while. It took a minute to get it all done. But I really just wanted to capture that essence and that magic on the page. And I think I've achieved that because while I was growing up, and I kind of felt this way while I was there, that there was something very magical about the place. You couldn't put your finger on it, really. It was just, there was just something about it, and eerie as well, because there was paranormal things that happened on this resort. So I grew up on a resort. There was 8 cabins. You know, it was on a lake. You know, we had a pool, and I didn't realize then how good I had it. I do now. I don't have a place on water or anything like that. But it was just a very interesting time. And my parents were very, they loved having get-togethers. They loved having parties. And they would just invite everybody on the resort. And my dad would be the grill master. And, you know, people from in town would come in. All our neighbors would come. You know, we knew all our neighbors, friendly with all of them. They would all come. And it was just like a huge gathering of people. And then afterwards, you know, my dad would get out his guitar and sing and entertain. And and there was also paranormal things that happened around this resort. There was a lot of different things. I always would hear strange noises from across the street in the woods. There was a huge, huge tree next to Cabin 7 that consistently would get hit by lightning, like several times. And just other things that happened. And I thought, yeah, this would make a good premise for the book.
Awesome. You know, and while I was reading your Gray Resort, it was kind of took me back because my friend of mine, his parents always, we always went camping. Yes. And into the woods. And for some reason, I thought about this campground we were at. I could actually feel myself in that story, you know, and it was very well written. I mean, some of these people that's in the story, I know it's based off of the true characters. Is your mother or father still around?
My dad passed away. My mom is still around. And when she read the book, she was like, oh, okay, I know who this is about. I know who that's about. One of my favorite characters is the couple Lyle and Cassie. I've changed their names, of course, but yes, they were definitely a real couple. Cassie is probably one of my favorite characters in the book. She was just a huge, colorful, bright spot. You know, she just blew everybody away with her personality. It was extremely loud. She was very funny. I mean, I can clearly remember her walking into my parents' parties. Okay, so they lived right next door. So she would come walking in. Now, this is like a fishing resort. I never saw her in denim or jeans ever. She had on these dress slacks. She was originally from Florida. She was always cold. So she had these dress slacks on. She would have like this, you know, sweater over her shoulder. She'd have like her little terrier in one hand and then like some sort of drink in the other. Usually it was a martini or some vodka drink. And she would just come walking in, you know, her lipstick was about red as ever. You could see it like a mile away. Her hair was bright blonde and a big old beehive. And, you know, you couldn't miss her. And I, you know, it was so much fun writing about her. And as I was recalling it, writing the book, I believe she's passed away. I don't know. I have, you know, I've lost touch. Her husband, Lyle, has passed away. I'm not sure. I would assume that she has, but gosh, she was so much fun and just so lively, you know, on the resort. And it was just so fun creating them.
So your mother, when she's read the book.
Yeah.
So she can probably relate to a lot what you were saying, probably saying, well, this didn't happen
she has like so what do you mean by this and that. Yeah, no, she liked it though. She knew right away who I was talking about. And you know, like Cassie would do these fun little things, like, and this is in the book too, but I just kind of want to touch on it. I just remember clearly her giving my sister a makeover, and she had all her makeup in a fishing tackle box, you know, her eyeshadows and all that, which was sort of strange because whenever I saw Cassie, there was an elegance to her, but she had all this in this tackle box. And, you know, my sister's name's Trish. I call her Patty in the book. You know, she went over and gave my sister a makeover. She was kind of like 8 at the time. And when she came back, my mom was so upset because she had put my sister's hair, poofed it way up, probably used about a gallon of Aquanet. her face thick with foundation, bright red lips. She was like a little mini Cassie. And I don't know what my mom thought about that, but it was very funny. Yeah, I remember saying, you look like a little hussy. I don't want you ever going over there and getting a makeover from her again. But yeah.
But I was just curious because, you know, your mom, you know, with her still living, you know, and it could be interesting too that she brings back memories to her of those days. And a little sad too that you're, you know, your dad's no longer here. And
right,
those are great memories, and to live off of it and write a story off of that, you know, and growing growing up in that era, you know.
I'm so glad I did it because, you know, every time I read it, I pick up something new, even though, you know, I lived it and, you know, it happened to me. But, you know, the tree farm across the street, which was haunted, I swear to God it was. There was just strange noises coming from that, you know, and what's kind of sad is the resort is nothing like how it was, you know, it was in its heyday when my parents owned it. So I haven't been back there in quite a while. It's probably been about 6 or 7 years. But last time I went, you know, usually when our family gets together, my parents ended up, you know, selling the resort quite a while ago. And when they lived in town, and my sister and I were like, oh, let's take a ride, because we lived about 6-7 miles outside of town. Let's take a ride past the resort and see what it's like. And whenever we did, it just, you know, there was just something about it that was missing. My dad had taken really, he was really good with the landscaping, with everything, and, you know, keeping the cabins all up to date and painting and, you know, all the immense amount of work. Both my parents really worked hard on that resort and they're proud of it. And, you know, when I go there now, or, you know, I haven't been in a while, but last time I was there, it was just like, oh my gosh, it's nothing like how it was. And that's kind of sad. But yeah, my sister and I thought she could sell a bunch of books so we can go and buy the place back and get it back into its glory. That would be great. I would love to do that.
You mentioned some of the paranormal activity that happened during that book. Yeah. During that story, did your mother ever witness any of that paranormal activity? I know she's seen a UFO.
Yeah. You know what? She had, like with you, she had seen some things in our house that we grew up in. She saw a ghost several times in that house. And there was something kind of strange up in the attic. And it was strange enough for me not to want to go up there and, you know, it was just my sister and I were sharing a room and I was a teenager and I was like, oh, you know, I want to have my own space. So my mom had said, oh, why don't you go up and, you know, there's a nice room in the attic. And I'm like, okay. I was up there 2 days and I was done. I was like, there's no way I can be up here. There was something really, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. And ever since that, I'm like, nope, I'm going back down. You know, it's just one of those things where you can feel like there's paranormal energy in the air. The air was real thick. It was kind of chilly, even when it was like in the middle of summer. I just felt like there was a pair of eyes on me. I didn't like it up there. So I didn't stay up there very long. There was something going on with the house for sure.
An awakening, that's the follow-up to The Gray Resort.
Yes.
Without getting into the book, because we want people buy the book, you know,
right.
But the same characters from An Awakening, and you added some new characters.
Yes. Yeah. So really, it was really fun writing this book. I included all the characters and from A Gray Resort, most of them anyway, the important ones. And I did add a few new ones. And one of the new characters that I added is he's called The Traveler. And he's thousands of years old, and, you know, he used to live in Neillsville a while back, and he moved out, and then he's married to a human, but he's supernatural, and he's been around, obviously, for, gosh, long, long, long time. And I don't want to say the origins of it, because it's very interesting how he got to be the way that he is. Now, the book, An Awakening, is really about good versus evil, and love as well. So the traveler, throughout his years of, you know, wandering the earth, he's seen these things, which I've mentioned in A Gray Resort, these distractors or demons or whatever you want to call. He knows of them. He knows they're bad news. He knows they're terrible and awful. He doesn't really, they kind of have a mutual understanding. They know that he is of a supernatural, and he knows that they are as well. So they kind of leave each other alone. But he's kind of getting, now that he's moved back to Neillsville, he's seeing what's going on in this town and how unfair it is to, you know, the regular humans of what's going on and what's happening to them, that he decides that he's going to help them, and he wants to help them. And normally he would just sort of kind of not help anybody and just kind of stay to himself and mind his own business. But he's kind of tired of it. He's tired of them, and he wants to balance things out, as it were. So, yeah, he's new.
And you find, you know, when you're writing this book, are you already thinking ahead to the third book? I mean, does things lead you to, okay, this is going to be the third book?
It's so strange because, you know, when I was writing the second book, I had no idea about the traveler. He came in towards the middle. And, you know, I don't know where I get these ideas. I don't know. It was in the middle of the night. And I woke up and I thought, oh, he would be a good character. So I started writing things down. And then, you know, as you're going through the course of your day and doing your errands or whatever you got to do, I would write things down like, oh, he would say this in this situation, or, oh, this would be cool in this situation. I would write it down. And then it just sort of all came together. He was really fun to write. And I'm so glad that he's in the book.
I don't know if I read it somewhere or you were on another podcast.
Yeah.
You had mentioned before that I think it was going to publishing and you thought of something different that you didn't want to go that way, or second or third person, or
you changed it. I changed it. Yeah. Because, I published through Book Baby, and what I always do is I always get one copy of my book and I read it through for the 1,000th time, and I go through it, and I'm so glad I did, because towards the end, it really wasn't what I wanted. In that one chapter, not the end, it's as a whole, but in this one chapter with the traveler, without getting too many into the details, it was in third person, and I really needed it to be in first person. I really wanted his perspective on what was going on, even though I've had, you know, I'm just a rule breaker. I don't really go by what feels good to me and to my heart and what I, because a lot of people, and you'll get back and forth with this, and I've asked authors this, so like, some are really strict, like, yep, it only needs to be in strictly first person or strictly third person. You don't really want to mix. I've had others say, yeah, you can mix them as long as you make it clear about what you're doing,
right,
and your intentions are clear, you can. And I was trying, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it that way. So, and I'm glad I changed it because it was so much better. It cost me a little bit more because I had to redo a whole chapter, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, I find myself doing that between first person and third person.
I find that to be, well, marketing, I've said, is difficult, but the editing process, the first edits are fine, but when you go back through over and over, it can kind of be overwhelming. You can really take it in many, many different directions. And that's where you have to really hone in, like, okay, where do I want this to go? How do I get this to flow right into the next chapter? How do I get it where I can keep pulling the reader in and they'll want to keep turning the page? Yeah, that's where it's a little tricky.
And do you write on notepad, computer, scratch paper?
I do both. Sometimes I'll make a point of being up here on the laptop, and I'll have, and I'm going to do this more because I really didn't do that a lot, is where I would block off time and like, okay, I'm going to write during this time. Before, I would just write when the moment kind of strikes. And sometimes I will keep a pad and paper, you know, with me near the bed. I always keep one in the car too, because you just never know. Well, like, I'll have an idea. And that started because I woke up from a dream and I had a really fantastic idea. I remember this. Oh, I'll just, you know, and I was so tired, I didn't want to write it down or anything, or write any of the pieces of that dream. I'll remember it when I wake up, and I didn't when I woke up. So I'm like, oh, never again.
I did that one night. I woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning and I thought about it, because my books, you know, I'm 12 years old. So, you know, I'm going into from sixth grade into seventh grade, and we're transitioning, and I had this crazy, and I mean, it's true. I don't use people's real names in a book,
right?
Or the last name anyway. Right. I had a crazy seventh grade teacher, and she was out there, and people that I know that had her at that time.
Yeah.
And I know the school was trying to get rid of her at that time because she was, you know, seeing little green men and aliens and invisible people and, you know, that type of thing. And, but she's in my book. Looking back on it, and the people I've had on the show since then, she's spot on.
Right.
You know, so I thought about that, and I woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I got to put her in a book. I got to do this, you know, because she was an inspiration to me. I mean, to what I was going through. So I was always asked, different authors too, you know, you know, first person, third person. Well, that's why I print everything out. Everybody says, oh, you waste too much paper. You know, you're doing it the old way, like a typewriter, basically.
Well, you got to do it what makes you comfortable.
I read it back. I let the computer read it back to me, you know, so I'll change things. I go back and change things on the second chapter, you know.
I'll be right back with the rest of my conversation with Wendy Koch right after these brief messages.
Hey, I'm your host, Wendy, and you just listened to another episode of A Juicy Pear Podcast. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And I would love it if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Each week, I have new content, and I love talking with creatives. Tell your friends and family. And if you're feeling led, hey, you can buy me a coffee on ajuicypearpodcast.com. You mentioned about the teacher. It's always kind of fun to write about, like in A Gray Resort, the bus driver. Both of those that I wrote, both of them are based on real people.
And, you know, I'm reading that too. Like, I wonder if this person exists. I want the bus driver. Yeah, or is that something? Because, you know, some things you have to add in there that's
right. Yeah, no, they were both.
That's why it's fiction, you know.
Both real people. The one, she reminded me of a witch she always had. As soon as I met her, I thought, oh, goodness. In her demeanor, the way she looked, how she carried herself, couldn't stand her job. It was so obvious. Always, you know, yelling, shut up, to the kids on the bus every 2 seconds. You know, but her character was so flawed in such an interesting way that, you know, that's why I put her in the book, because it just makes for good writing for sure.
And somewhere between The Gray Resort and An Awakening, you also had the time to add a story to other authors.
I was part of a wonderful anthology book called Thriving Beyond Crisis, Conversations with Resilient Entrepreneurs. Yeah, so it was about 21 authors from all around the world discussing, they all put in a short story. And it's just all kinds of different stories, uplifting stories, amazing stories, and just very fun and interesting. And I'm proud to be a part of that. And that came out this summer in August. And I'm proud to say it made number one bestseller in several different categories on Amazon. So Thriving Beyond Crisis. I have a story in there. It's about 10 pages or so. And it was during my time in the service. I don't know if you want me to get into that, but it was something that it was just strange because I had forgotten that happened to me. I had forgotten about it. And the book was kind of the brainchild of Divya Parekh and Lisa Marie Pepe and just amazing women. And they got all these authors together. And Divya, I was on the phone with her, and I don't know, I was just kind of like, yeah, I was in the service, and I kind of mentioned what had happened. There was a lot of strange things that happened to me while I was in the service, and that was just one of them. And she's like, oh my gosh, you have to have that story in this book. I'm like, okay. So, recalling that story was interesting. And that was, it's called An Ordinary Morning.
I heard you describe that story on a storytelling. I think it was a storyteller on Facebook. So in the book, did you use her real name?
I never found out that girl's name that came to my door. I never even asked her, which is unusual because it was such a sort of significant event for both of us, really. But yeah, I don't recall, or I don't even remember what her name was. I don't even think I asked her name. That was sort of irrelevant to what was going to happen or what was going on. I just wanted a good outcome, and it was a good outcome. I didn't see her. Yeah, like I said, she had moved out of of the apartment complex a couple weeks after, and yeah. But it's really about, you know, how sometimes you inadvertently get thrown into situations that you really didn't plan for or want, and how are you going to deal with it? You know, your decision making process, it was scary, but
thank God you were there to help her when she needed it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, mental and physical abuse in this country is terrible.
It is.
Even to this day. And I think we, people that step forward like you do there. I always like to tell my wife, you know, there's people that you can talk the talk, but do you walk the walk, you know? So and I think you walked the walk that day. I thought you did a great job for her.
Well,
and I'm sure she probably looks back and probably, I don't know if she remembers your name or not either.
Probably not. I hope so. I mean, I just felt in my, I felt like in my soul that she was not lying to me when she came to my door, that she really needed help. You know, who am I to deny her to come in, you know? So I wanted to help her. I mean, I didn't want it to go the other way around. I mean, everything about what she was saying, I knew was true. I knew it was, I just had a feeling and something said, go help her, let her in. There's something to be said for intuition and, you know, really going with your gut. And even if something seems sort of pleasant, and but if something's telling you in your gut, no, really go by that. And it serves me well. I've done that a few times and it's always served me well. So, yeah.
I see that you're also getting into Reiki healing, and are you an instructor?
You know what? I can be, because I got certified, and so I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to be able to do that, because I could really do it remotely or, you know, locally as well, because I just feel, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I'm Reiki healer and energy, which is really just an energy healer. And I think that's so important, like in these times right now, because there is a lot of people out there that's looking for, I don't know, a lot of hurting people. And, you know, I want to help people and help them try to navigate through all this chaos that we're going through. And yeah, I would like to start helping with that as well.
Yeah, I love the Reiki. I mean, my wife and I went last year. There's a person who operates it's called the White Barns Healing Tent. Not far from us, and she takes in the animals and that's going to be put down, and she lets them live out their time on her farm, and she has these Indians that come and they set up this teepee and she does all her healing inside this teepee, and it's so cool to go there, because I remember the day I went there with my wife and my knees were killing me. I had to have knee surgery and all kind of stuff, and I said, you know, I couldn't hardly walk, and I remember walking in there and we did the Reiki, and that was so cool with the incense and the tobacco, and throwing your problems into the fire. And I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
I believe things happen for a reason.
Right. Right. You found some clarity.
Oh, right. You know, and she's fantastic. And her name's Annette Bragg. I'm going to give her a little shout out, you know, from the White Barns Healing Tent in Ravenna, Ohio.
Oh, I'd love to go there. That sounds amazing.
She's a fantastic person.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into your podcasting.
Yeah.
Because you are the host of A Juicy Pear.
Yeah.
You're on my top 10 podcasts I listen to.
Oh, nice. Oh, that makes me happy.
I see you have an actor from 1883.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear that one, because I was sort of watching that series, and it's fantastic.
It is.
It is. Which actor was that?
Her name is Shanna Toft, and she plays a Russian immigrant, and she is in, I think she said, the first 7 episodes, I believe. And she was amazing, and she told me some stuff that happened on set, and, you know, of course, Tim McGraw is in there with his wife, and she told me a few things about that. It was just so fun, you know, because I told her, I was like, oh, man, I would have loved to be on set like that, and we had a great conversation. She is so, she's very sweet. Yeah, that was a fun interview. That should come out, I would say, probably in the next few weeks. So I have a Juicy Pear podcast with Wendy, and I have all kinds of different people on the show. I love, you know, as you know, Al, paranormal, anything that has to do with that, psychics. But I also have, you know, like authors, fellow authors on, I have actors on, entrepreneurs. Basically, if you have a interesting story, I want to have you on, you know, firefighters. I've had a wide range of singers. I've had a few musicians on the show.
You know, I love that, because, you know, you can step outside that box. Not just paranormal. You're not just a romance thriller.
Right,
You can touch on a lot of things, as long as it's
As long as it's of interest of me. You know, I didn't want to put it in one niche, just because I thought, well, but what if I find this interesting and I want to have this person on, and I didn't want to limit myself. So it's been so much fun, and I've met so many wonderful people, just wonderful creative people, including yourself in the past year that it's just been phenomenal, and I just want to keep going. It is challenging sometimes as far as, you know, because like, you know, Al, you know, I do my own, we do our own, you know, I find my own guests, I do my own marketing, I do my own editing, you know, all that is on my own, and it does take a bit of time, but I really like to do it. So
what's so great to me is the people I meet, you know, and, yes, and being educated by, and you think, you know, I don't label anybody an expert on this show, and, or if they consider themselves an expert, I'll shoot it right down, because there's always somebody right out there that
claims to be some sort of expert on something. Right.
That's just my way of thinking, you know, but I love the people I come across. I love the stories.
Yeah. And you learn so much.
Just the people you meet.
I want to keep learning. You know, I don't want to like just stop like, oh, I've learned too much. No, I'm always open to learning new things and meeting new people. I want to be the exact opposite of someone who's closed themselves in, you know, and just, you know, and that's easy to do, especially nowadays. I mean, you can get discouraged and be like, okay, I don't want anything to do with the world at all.
Yeah, and I listened to an interview from Stephen King a few days ago, and I thought that was interesting. He says, if you want to do everything right as an author, then don't follow me.
I love him so much. He's one of my favorite authors.
I step outside the box. I do things as non-traditional.
That's me.
It works for me, you know, so...
I can identify with that so much. I break the rules. I mean, of course you have to have rules, of course, but I've always kind of pushed the envelope on those and just sort of wrote it and did things my way. And I love that Stephen King, he is the same. In fact, I think he was the one that said, adverbs are the devil or whatever. And it's
right.
True.
It is.
I mean,
right.
He goes, you can use them, but use them sparingly. And it's such great advice. I read that in his book about writing. I think it's called Stephen King on Writing or something. Mm-hmm. But that's like one of my favorite books about learning about the writing process and, you know, all his pearls of wisdom. And he had a lot in there. Yeah, I love that book. I'm just excited because I'm doing my third one. It's like, God, he's got what? I don't know. Hundreds, probably. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show today and talking about your podcast, and I'll have you back on when that third book of the trilogy comes out.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Al. It's always a pleasure coming on your show. I love talking with you. It's so much fun. And I would love to come on again. Yeah, An Awakening. It's currently available for pre-order on Amazon. It comes out officially January 31st.
Thanks again, Wendy. And I know we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Al.
I'd like to thank Wendy Cook for being on the show today. And please go to the links below and check out her books on Amazon, An Awakening and The Gray Resort by Wendy Cook. And also check out her podcast, The Juicy Pear Podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in 2 weeks on Ghosts in the Valley Podcast.